show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, I'm going to do something that is against my better judgment, but I'm going to do it anyway. That is, say hi to Josh Hancock at the beginning of the show before anything else happens. The man from Hollywood, the guy that puts the car with the character in all things television and radio and video and movies and Hollywood. How you doing?
Which, you know, the minute that you say Hollywood, it turns off half your audience.
No, that's not true.
Unless they know me.
We love Hollywood. It's just the freaks that are...
That's from Maine, basically.
You hear that? I said, it's just the freaks in Hollywood we don't love so much. But, you know, listen, Hollywood, hasn't Hollywood always been like that? I mean, that's Hollywood.
That's, you know, the thing about, and we use that big term, Hollywood, let's think about it in terms of cars. Because of the money and the weather, it's just one of the greatest places in the world for cars.
Well, no question about it.
Yep. You got to admit that. We've got numbers here in Southern California that are not topped anywhere in the world.
Yep. Well, and, yep, you know, I think that there's going to be some openings. In other words, if people want to move to California, there's a lot of people moving out, so that leaves some openings. There's a lot of people moving out of there, Josh.
Oh, boy. Well, a lot of people are moving out of a lot of places. Now, you live in Oregon.
Yeah.
I live partially in Maine. The real estate prices are up 17% in Maine because so many people from New York are moving in.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, well, New York's another place that's having a mass exodus.
Well, and I would much rather have California people move into Maine than New York people.
Well, but listen, now that Oregon has made narcotics legal, you can come up here and, the cartel is moving in. Matter of fact, you can put a sign out, cartel welcome, at the hotels, and they fill right up.
Well, we're sending buses of homeless drug addicts up there because it's just a better place to be.
Yeah, it's all
and
legal.
It's the only way we can get rid of them.
Right. We're the next state over. It's like, what the heck? Anyway, oh, my gosh.
Our story. Something local, since I am reporting from Los Angeles, and we do have the Peterson Museum here in Los Angeles, which has been unable to reopen under the guidelines. They got close, and then we had this little surge. But they have a new supercar exhibit. And if you go on to their YouTube channel, you can actually watch the tour of a collection of supercars that's really, really fantastic.
But you can't go in there, right?
What did I just say? Did I stutter about the beginning part of this? Because no, not even you can go in there.
Oh, that's funny. You got me. All right. So, it's just part of the screwing of our entire world right now that you can't do anything you want to do. It really sucks. Anyway, I'll just back up. Shut up. I'll be all right. Don't worry about it.
Hey, I don't know, I'm trying to make a nice story about a local museum that everyone should be supporting, and the fact that you can go online, go to the YouTube site, and it's really amazing, the cars that are there, and I'm sure they will be open soon.
By the way, the website is peterson.org, P-E-T-E-R-S-E-N, peterson.org, and we used to do the show there. Josh and I spent many a year doing the radio show that you're listening to right now inside the Peterson Automotive Museum. All right, so a supercar exhibit. I got to take a break. They're telling me take a break, Josh. I got to take a break. Let me take a break. For Christ's sake. We'll be right back.
K-Rock. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Trump gets knocked down.
Did I say that? But he gets back up.
I got Josh Hancock on the line here. JoshCarr.com.
The one thing I can promise you, folks, is we're not going to get political during my segment.
Oh, no. Yeah, we might.
I will have to reach through the phone and strangle Alan.
But you know what's funny is that we still don't have the outcome of the election, which I don't think we're going to, by the way, until...
Like I said, we're not going to get political, folks. So my next story is also local because it's about Mr. Jay Leno.
Yeah.
And he's got a piece on Leno's Garage, which is, I believe, jaylenosgarage.com. And he is, you know, he has created his own line of car care products.
Right.
Which up until now, they've been marketing themselves. But he's just gotten into Walmart. So he wanted to do something to celebrate getting his products into Walmart. So he had two trucks. One is an exact recreation of the 1979 F-150 that Sam Walton drove till his death.
You're kidding.
That is in the Walmart Museum. They tied the museum into a Zoom call. You can see this all on the YouTube channel. And there's the truck, just the way Sam is. Sam Walton was a very humble guy. He didn't believe in showing off his wealth. He loved this F-150. So Leno goes, and I happen to know the backstory of this. He's got a 2021 F-150, which is not out yet, by the way, that he painted exactly like Sam Walton's truck, which is red over a white center section.
Right.
And he got the two trucks sitting there. Now, I'm over at Galvin Autosports a couple of weeks ago, and I see a 2021 black F-150 XLT, and I think, how come they have a 2021? They're not even out yet. Well, Ford had shipped that truck to Galpin to wrap it to be used for this segment, and I didn't realize it until I just saw it on television.
So it's the same truck. It started out life black, and then they've wrapped it, which you really can't even tell. They've given it a wrap. Yeah, it's amazing.
But it's really fun. It's worth going on and seeing these two trucks. And it's just a great story about how Walton drove this 79 F-150 and he loved it. And then you see the new one juxtapositioned to the old one and how much it's changed. And so I got in and around that F-150, the 2021, and wow, they've really upgraded that interior with a huge screen. And there's all sorts of little Easter eggs, hidden messages in the truck.
Right.
It's pretty impressive.
You know what's
pretty
funny?
Impressive.
Our podcast, this radio show, gets podcast after it's done. So it's on like 100 radio stations. Then we put it on podcast and truckers and people that like to listen kind of, you know, when they have time or in the middle of the night when they're trying to stay awake and they're bored out of their gourd. They put my show on and we can make them laugh a little bit when I have Josh on anyway. But the podcast got behind and the gal that's doing the podcast right now. And the reason why it got behind is because somebody got a new job and it's hard to find somebody that knows about cars that can do podcast work. And it's funny because everybody's like, how do I get a job working for you doing that? Or how do I get a job? Well, you know what? I think a lot of this stuff in our industry, in the car industry, is luck, pure dumb luck. I mean, look at you and me, Josh, right? But the point is that she says to me about the F-150 all electric. She says, yeah. You know, it's kind of neat listening to your show because I didn't know that they're going to make an F-150 all electric. And she goes, I heard about it listening to the podcast, writing it down. And I thought to myself, yeah, I thought, you know, what's interesting is
they are going to make an all-electric. But when are we going to see that? Do you have any idea? Have you heard any scuttlebutt on that?
They say early 22, because all the competition is being launched at the end of 21. So the fourth quarter of 21 is going to see three trucks come out. We're going to see the
Hummer.
The Atlas.
Okay.
We're going to see the Rivian.
Yep.
We're going to see the Bollinger.
Okay.
And I guess you're right. We're going to see the Hummer, which I saw in person, you know.
How did it look to you, seriously?
To me, the only problem with it is it's the same thing as an H2, as far as I'm concerned, when the shadow's against the wall.
Yeah.
Yes, it is electrified, and it's beautiful, and it's got the interior's wonderful. But I would like to have seen it, the shape, be a little bit more modern. That's just me. Everybody else is in love with this truck.
Well,
it's huge. It's just huge.
I love what they are doing, though, because they have really thrown everything at this new Hummer, which is, you know, part of GMC now. All electric, 1,000 horsepower. I mean,
Here's the feature that I think that they trumped everybody on. That truck has four-wheel steering, and if you're out in the middle and you need to move the truck sideways, it'll do something called crab. You can turn all the wheels and move sideways.
And
away, you know, something's in your way, you're climbing rocks. I mean, that's just phenomenal.
And 1,000 horsepower. They didn't, make it this, anemic thing. All right, hang tight.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I got a break. You don't let me take a break. How do we pay the bills? Hey, I gotta take a break. I gotta take a break. Take a break, please. Golly. No respect. They took all the trees and put them in a tree. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Playing the appropriate song by the appropriate band, All-American Rejects, Dirty Little Secret. We've got an All-American Reject right here, Josh Hancock, and he's got some dirty little secrets from Hollywood.
I have to say, you made me laugh in the break. It was automotive. I rarely admit that you make me laugh, but you did.
Oh, well, you're welcome to go ahead and tell people what we were talking about.
Another, I will at the end of the show.
Okay.
Another local story.
Okay.
That is truck related. So all of a sudden they break into the news because here in Los Angeles, we have a lot of car chases with the police.
Yep.
So it's the evening news. It's like 11 o'clock. I'm watching the news. All of a sudden, there is a Ford 6x6 pickup truck.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Which means four wheels in the back, not like dualies. They're tandem.
Right. Like a Hennessy. What does he call that? But yeah,
yes.
I get it. Right.
Yes. And so it's a very unusual truck, and he's being chased by the police.
Come on.
And you're like, who would grab that truck to be chased in?
Well, very expensive truck, by the way. That's why.
He goes to make a big sweeping turn. Of course, the turning radius is like a battleship.
Right.
And smacks right up against a pole. He takes out a telephone pole easily.
Oh,
but
no.
That slows him down a little bit to when he hits the next pole. So now they've got him and they say, oh, we have found out that this truck has been stolen from Galpin Ford, our friend.
Oh, no.
So it was there being serviced, and it is owned by DJ Marshmello. So, you can't make this stuff up. So the commentator is like, well, this Ford 6x6 but Mr. Marshmallow could not be reached for comment.
Oh, my gosh.
And then they're going on, and they're going, has anybody heard from Marshmallow? it was just a funny moment. So L.A. that this truck gets stolen, and, you know, why don't you steal something that is not quite as obvious when you're trying to get away?
Well, and think about how upset Mr. Marshmallow is right now. That's well, his truck got wrecked.
They didn't do a lot of damage to the truck because the truck is so tough. I mean, he was bouncing up over sidewalks with ease.
Yeah.
It's just that the turning radius when he got to a point, you know, it's like a 9-point turn to right. turn that thing around quickly.
No, so, I had a yeah. Ram crew cab dually 4-wheel drive. And, you know, much as I love that thing, when you have to turn it, it is. It's a pain in the butt. And I backed up. Listen to this. I backed up the other day, but I've sold it since then. But I backed up, and somebody called me precisely at the time I was backing up about 10 feet. And the phone, you know, jumps Bluetooth into the radio, and it's like, yep. you know, and it cuts off the camera. It's like everything happened at the wrong time, and I backed up into a brand new Ford F-150 that was the most beautiful truck. But I right as I looked in my mirror, I saw it. I hit the brakes, and I'm telling you, I broke his taillight, and I put a dent the size of dent the size of a quarter right below the taillight, right? $5,000 later for his truck. $2,500 for mine. So we're talking 75. The thing is, you know, when you're talking about these big trucks, when you back into something, they do big damage. But and you can't drive a dually through a car wash either. So there's drawbacks to having those. That means you got to wash your own truck. My truck looked like it was owned by a pig farmer. I had it detailed and sold it.
Whenever you travel with those trucks and you used to bring your trailer to SEMA, it always looked like they had been through a cornfield in Oregon.
They had, actually. You nailed it.
Now, I just saw something on Bring a Trailer, the auction site that we all know and love. It was an 83 Ford F-250 XL 4x4. Right? With 40,000 miles on it. Now, mind you, it's spotless. It's beautiful.
Right.
But it was going for $27,250 for a base 83 F-250.
People are going crazy. They got COVID in the brain. You should not buy cars or trucks when you've got COVID, people, because you spent money on stuff that you had when you were in high school, you know. But here's what's better. Same deal. And by the way, that website, Bring a Trailer, B-A-T, Bring a Trailer is a auction website. They don't just take anything. It's got to be the best of the best. They had a Sherman tank on there. I think it's still on there right now, a Sherman tank. And I said to one of my buddies, I go, hey man, we're gonna have a civil war, come on, let's buy that tank. $250,000, and the bidding is still going on. $250,000.
They have a 2018 Ford GT, which is the last generation, obviously, a car that sells, that's priced right around $500,000. They put it up, and immediately the bidding started at $750,000.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Those cars are bringing $1 million.
Yeah, they're only 500,000 new. Only 500,000 new. Boy, well, Ford knocked it out of the park.
The first generation they did at 160.
Yeah, I know. That was a giveaway. All right, Josh. Thank you, sir. Josh Hancock, everybody.
Thank you, Alan.
Appreciate it. Thank you for the abuse. I'll take it. JoshCar.com on the web. I'm gonna mute him. He's just annoying, isn't he? I know it. We'll take a break. There's more. Stay with us.
Gotta hold on me. Now's the time to earn your bragging rights and rule the road in a powerful Dodge vehicle. With enough style, horsepower, and performance to make your muscle car dreams come true, it's no wonder J.D. Power named Dodge the number one ranked brand in initial quality and driver appeal for mass market brands. Join the brotherhood and experience the strength of Dodge muscle today. Visit Dodge.com or see your local Dodge dealer for great deals. Tied for initial quality study. For J.D. Power 2020 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Our show brought to you in part by Dodge. And by the way, congratulations to Dodge for being the first domestic brand ever to be ranked number one in initial quality and appeal in the same year. They're doing a great job. Part of FCA is the Jeep brand. And I drove the Jeep Gladiator diesel recently, and so did my buddy Perry Stern, editor of Auto NXT. He's a contributor to MSN.com as well. Perry, I hope you're feeling okay, because I squirted some COVID in there so that you would, you know.
I hosed it out, as you properly do with a Jeep, so it's all good.
My nephew's got this, and you know, he calls me up, he says, "Uncle, I've got COVID." I'm like, "Oh no." He says, "All right." I go, "You know, I got tested on Saturday, you know, and this was last week." And so he says, by Wednesday, he was already feeling better, and it was just kind of like a cold, and he's feeling better. But you and I talked briefly in the commercial break that COVID hits everybody differently. Now, he's like 31 years old. I have a chef at a restaurant that we just got done building a little restaurant here at this plaza that I'm in. And the chef had it. And it was like, "Oh, no." Of course, the restaurant wasn't done yet. So don't worry about it, people.
That's good.
This guy, now he's like me. He's 400 pounds. And I'm not quite there, but I'm on my way, especially now that I'm eating this food. But he didn't know he had it. And he had a really bad cold. And I asked him where he was. And he said, "Oh," he goes, "I got really bad. Evidently, I had COVID. I didn't even know it." So I thought, you know, his, dare I say, and I'm obese, so I can say this, his obesity would, you know, I mean, he's a Samoan dude. I mean, this guy is huge, huge. And he went through it. He said it was like a bad cold. It affects everybody differently. The young people,
it does. I know people, friends of my parents that, you know, went out, hung out with some friends, caught it in the hospital for 10 days, and it's still on oxygen.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of people just don't ever fully recover. I mean, yeah. It can be bad. So,
well,
I'm staying in my house.
I said it backwards.
Except when I'm out driving a Jeep.
Yeah, right. I said young people more so. Young people less so is what I meant to say, because young people, they seem to have a better immune system, I guess, than older people. But I've heard of people getting it from all walks of life, and it treats everybody a little bit differently. I don't want to get it. I was, watching some of our friends travel a little bit. I don't know about you, but I noticed you traveled for that Ram TRX test drive. But I
did do that. It was my first trip and only trip since the whole thing started back in March.
Wow.
And it went fine. I mean, the TRX is awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of glad I went. I jumped a truck. Hmm. But I'm probably not going to travel anymore this year because it makes me nervous.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to bring it home to the family.
Right.
And I don't want to get it myself. There's really nothing worth doing that's going to put my family in danger.
Right. So, I'm glad we agree on that. And there's all kinds of crazy things going on. Perry lives up in Washington State near Seattle. I live in Oregon State. And each state is dealing with things a little differently, and some of them are locking down, so on and so forth. Me, what I've, just to get this out on the table, because it's as important, it's, everybody's living with it, right? It's not like it's a secret, but I've just been doing less with people. I'm just trying to, you know, like I go home and I want to go visit one of my friends or whatever. I just don't. I go home and I work on my property. I work on my house. I clean the gutters. I've been doing things that I haven't wanted to do for years. And I'm so glad. It's like almost like, thank you, God. I have a chance to do all this stuff finally, you know?
Oh, I know. I mean, I've been working out. I've been eating better. I've just, you know.
Yeah, I noticed that.
It's there's ways to make things, you know, make life better if you can't go out and be social, which sucks, but, yeah. You know, you
well,
make do.
Making life better. Driving a Jeep Gladiator diesel made my life better, by the way. I really enjoyed this thing. Now, the one thing I did not do, and I'm curious if you did, is I did not take the top off of it because it had a really nicely painted to match top. And I thought, you know what? I know I'm going to chip this top if I take it off. Did you guys take it off?
It was pouring down rain the whole time. Oh. I had it. So no, I did not take the top off. And actually, I mean, I had a Gladiator Mojave to drive a little while back.
Right.
And I did take the top off and the doors off of that one.
Ah.
So I've experienced that. And this one, you know, it was a little different in that it was a diesel. I mean, that was the big deal. And this was the Gladiator Rubicon.
Right.
So completely set up for off-roading. But the diesel was really good. I mean, it was torquey. It was quick. You know, it's got that proper diesel truck sound, which just makes it feel beefy. I don't know.
Diesel-y.
And, you know, driving on-road, off-road, because I did a bunch of trail driving as well, still averaged about 24 miles per gallon.
Yeah, you know, the miles per gallon is okay. I actually thought it was going to, you know, do over 30, I thought, on the highway. Because I thought, well, this is the same engine, basically, that's in the Ram 1500 that my brother has. He gets 29 miles to the gallon on the highway. And I thought, well, but this is a Rubicon, bigger wheels and tires. And so I'm not sure why it only did like 24, 25 miles to the gallon. I thought it would do better. I'm not complaining. Because there were days when this type of a vehicle would do 15 and you'd be happy. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, for what it is, I think it's, you know, it's pretty good fuel economy. You're still driving a brick through the wind. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's not exactly the most aerodynamic vehicle out there, although it's better than the previous generation.
Yeah, no question.
It's just, in general, it's just a fun car to drive. I mean, I like the Gladiator size. There's some trails out here that I had not traveled down in the rain before. I've gone out and taken pictures, but I figured I've got a Jeep. Why not? And it was election day, and I really did not want to be anywhere near the internet or anything because I didn't want to hear about it. So I hopped in the Jeep, and I headed out into the middle of the woods.
You got as far away from Ronaville as you could.
Exactly. And it was great because, I mean, what I picture is this, you know, if someone owns a Jeep Gladiator, they're not going to go climb rocks all the time. They have the ability.
Right.
But, I mean, this is a road that was, you know, it's not even, it's a road, but it's all mud and big potholes with lots of water in them. You know, nothing that you're going to get stuck in, but I did put it in four-wheel drive eventually because it was sliding around a bit and drove, you know, 30 miles out on this, you know, bumpy road, did not see another soul except for a couple deer the entire time. And to me, that's why you buy a Jeep.
Yeah. I was very impressed. I was sad to see it go away. I enjoyed it. People would talk to me about it like I do when I see other people driving Gladiators and especially the Rubicon, which is you're going to pay up for it. Matter of fact, do you remember what the window sticker was on it?
It was not cheap. This was a $67,000 Jeep Gladiator Rubicon.
Right. You pay up for that. But if you want a Rubicon, you're going to pay. I'm not sure what the upsell is for the Rubicon, but the Rubicon is like you're buying a real, true off-road machine. A lot of people do not need that. You don't need it if you don't plan on going off-road as part of your extreme lifestyle that you have, because that gives you all kinds of extra equipment. And I mean, from the shock absorbers to, you know, I mean, the list is quite large and we don't have time to talk about it right now, but you're paying a lot of money extra to be able to go off-road. And I think most of us are going to do what you did. We're going to go on a road with potholes and, you know, gravel, and you just don't need the Rubicon package for that, because you can buy the same vehicle, you know, probably, I'm going to say $18,000 less without having that Rubicon package.
And that's true. And I think a lot of people buy the Rubicon because it looks cool.
Yeah. Right.
And that way they can also say that they could go climb that mountain if they wanted to. It's kind of like buying a car that'll go 200 miles an hour. Even though you're never, ever, ever going to go 200 miles an hour, you like to be able to tell people you could.
Exactly. I think you're part of the 200 mile an hour club, aren't you?
I am.
You rotten.
9 in a McLaren.
That makes me mad. I'm still 8 miles an hour short of 200 miles an hour. But anyway, the Jeep Rubicon Gladiator diesel. Awesome if you can afford it. We'll take a little break. Come back. We've got a lot to talk about with Perry Stern. His website is autonxt.net. You could probably see a story about this Rubicon Jeep Gladiator. We'll be right back.
If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever. The 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.
Well, our show is also brought to you in part by Brembo. Brembo Brakes, the choice of champions. You can buy Brembo at buybrembo.com. Pretty easy. Barry Stern joining us, Auto NXT. So if you're thinking about buying a Rubicon and you're going, wow, it's a lot of money. Although we were talking about the Rubicon, window sticker on that one was fully loaded, $67,000. But Perry made a good point in the commercial break. They start at around 42 or 3,000 bucks.
44, 45, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it depends on how it's equipped, right? But so yeah, if you want to get a Rubicon, not a Rubicon, but a Jeep Gladiator, you can buy them in the 40s. But if you want the loaded baby, you're going to spend way up into the money there of $67,000. But so along that same line, I see here you've noted you wanted to talk about toy hauler RVs. And a lot of people are doing that these days because they're, like you and me, not traveling, but they are going to their local places like you did, the dirt road that took you to the whatever. You know, in this case, with snow coming now in our part, our neck of the woods, the snow park, we'll say. So what do you got there?
So, I mean, the toy hauler RV, I mean, right now, you know, getting away is what everybody's trying to do. And, you know, even staying in hotels, going to restaurants can be a little nerve-wracking. And so RVs have increased in popularity dramatically.
Yeah.
And there's a whole line of RVs that are what they call toy haulers.
Yep.
Basically, they have garages where you can put in everything from kayaks to canoes to snowmobiles to ATVs.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them have room for a side-by-side, a four-passenger ATV,
right,
all inside the trailer.
Yep. My son-in-law, who is actually here waiting to talk to me, which is funny, he had bought a 40-foot toy hauler, three axles, gigantic garage. He did exactly what you just described, put his big, gigantic side-by-side inside of it, and he had a big diesel truck, and I'm thinking to myself, that guy could buy a nice house for what he's got in those two things, you know? So he actually kept it for a few months during the summer, and then he sold it toward the end of the season just recently and bought a really nice house. It's like, you know, the world is changing.
There you go.
So we're all looking to find that perfect scenario. What is it? He bought a house with some property. So, you know, they're remodeling and everything. But these toy haulers, they are awesome because they actually do have, air quotes, a garage. Which, I mean,
exactly.
People, you know, they have to realize when you go to look for these things, ask for toy hauler if you're not familiar with these things, because they are really cool. Continue.
One of the best parts about them, especially when you get to the larger ones that have the big ramp off the back,
right?
Many people are buying these things and not even using them as toy haulers because the garage area, you open up the back ramp, you put a railing around it, you've got a back patio on your RV.
Yeah, a deck.
And you combine that with the garage space, and you've got all this extra living space. I mean, I was talking to somebody that turned it into a craft room.
Right.
Or you can turn it into, you know, a studio or an office or anything
like that,
which, you know, ends up with this nice view.
Yeah.
But, you know, most people are going to be able to, you know, put their toys in them.
Yeah.
And, when you get up high end, you know, the fifth wheels that are very expensive, you get these ultra luxury interiors, you know, with big TV and fireplace or extend fireplace.
That's what they
have. Couches and everything else.
Right.
And you can, you know, a 15 foot garage.
Yeah, I know. And it's funny because, you know, here I had a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van motorhome, you know, by, who was it, by Winnebago or whatever, whoever did it. I only had it for like a month. And then I was like, what am I doing? And I sold it to one of my business partners. And now he's going, what am I doing? But that's the best part about it is, listen, we're all trying to figure out what the heck to do right now because we're not going to Tahiti or to Italy or whatever we wanted to do this year. We're all staycationing. You know what I mean? But I went into his and he had the fireplace going. Yeah, it's a fake fireplace, but it was warm and cozy. His wife was cooking. He had a full kitchen. And I thought to myself, man, this is living. So anyway, but it was short lived because then where we live, there's the winter. And then you're, you know, unless you're a kind of going to go into the sunshine states, Arizona, there's people that do that. Snow bunnies, I guess they call them. I don't know. But
exactly. I mean, there's people we know, you know, people I know that have an RV, and ever since COVID hit, they've been on the road pretty much. I mean, the kids weren't in school anyway, so yeah, that they did online school, and they've just been posting pictures on Facebook. All, you know, they went down to Florida and across to Texas, and they went to New Orleans, and they basically been touring the country in their RV because they can work remotely and the kids are doing school remotely, and why not?
Yeah, it's a beautiful idea. All right, hang tight. We're going to talk about next. We'll continue. We get, you know, this can blend because you said you drove the Ram TRX, T-Rex. We need to talk about that too. Perry Stern is with AutoNXT.net on the web. You can find him, stories that he writes there. We'll be right back. This is The Drive.
Cruise up and down this road, up and down this road.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, it is The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Our show brought to you in part by Subaru and the new Outback. Go where love takes you. As you can tell, a lot of people are going where love takes them lately. And it ain't on airplanes. Well, a little bit, but not as much as it used to be. That's for darn sure. Staycations. Perry Stern is on the line with us. PerryAutoNXT.net. You can find stories about all these things we're talking about. The Ram truck that is the Ford Raptor Fighter, known as the Ram TRX or the T-Rex. Perry has driven it. And Perry has done what a lot of times only Alan does, which is to get the vehicle airborne. That is always, in all vehicles, Perry, one of the things I try to do. How does the vehicle...
It's a good goal. It's a good goal. You know, next time you get the Prius, I want to see pictures.
Oh, but you wonder why I haven't been invited to anything lately. Well, there you go. Let's talk about this vehicle. You did get it airborne, didn't you?
I did, and it was awesome. I mean, the truck is exactly what you expect. I mean, it just looks scary just to look at it. It's big and wide, much wider than the typical Ram. Mm. And what, 708 horsepower, 706 horsepower, something
like that. I think they're saying it's
700 plus horsepower.
Yeah, I think it's 702 and for some reason. They're giving it
702,
that's right.
That's right.
Yep.
And they basically had us on an off-road track, and you come down this hill, you hit the bump at 60 miles an hour, and you're couple feet off the ground, all four wheels. The thing just lands so perfectly smoothly.
You gotta love it.
The suspension is just phenomenal.
You love it. Last time I did that was in a Ford Raptor. They did the same kind of a thing when the newest one came out. It's a couple years ago. I think you were on that event down near the border of Mexico.
No, I knew about it, but I never got to go on that one.
Well, so I missed this one, even though I've ordered with a couple of my partners two of these Ram TRXs. And so we're waiting. We're calling and say, hey, when are we going to get these things? Of course, you know, they are rare as hen's teeth. They sold out, I think, in what, three hours. They had 1,500 or something. No, they had 700.
Yeah, the special editions were sold out almost immediately.
Yeah, they had 702 of them. That's how I remember the horsepower, by the way. They sold them out in 3 hours. I got two of them, I think, believe it or not. And of course,
that should be fun.
You
get them both airborne for pictures.
Oh, I will. And but the reason is because as soon as they showed the truck, I wasn't even done watching the video from, you know, the press event that was all done, you know, over video. We went online and we ordered up those suckers because we knew this is too good to be true. So what else about
it,
though, stood out?
Well, it's, you know, they gave it a high end interior too, so it's very similar to like the Limited.
Yeah.
So it feels like a top of the line truck inside, you know, really nice leather seats, big screen and everything else. But driving it, I mean, the sound of that supercharged, you know, supercharger with the big V8 throttle. Oh man, it just, you know, you need a tunnel.
Yeah.
It just sounds so good.
Right.
But I think the most impressive thing though with that suspension was there was an off-road trail. So I can have a trail ride to go. And the road was, you know, very bumpy, big rocks. I mean, something that typically you'd kind of crawl over in a normal car. We were cruising through it at 40 miles an hour.
Mm.
And it wasn't even uncomfortable. It was just, the truck just swallows up all of the bumps. It's really meant, I mean, they designed it to go 100 miles an hour off-road, and I see it having no problem doing
that. Yeah, well, in essence, they put the Hellcat motor under the hood and beefed up all the suspension. And I think that for a while, I think they're going to have a little bit of an edge over Ford's Raptor because they only have that V6, even though you can get a lot of horsepower out of that twin turbo V6. But that, you know, something about the sound of a supercharged 700 horsepower V8 engine that you just, it's delicious. That's all I can say. But
it makes me smile to think about it.
Exactly. And, you know, they're both around 70 grand to start. The Raptor, the Ford Raptor, and the TRX from Ram. But I know that the ones we got were like almost 90 grand because they were that special edition, launch edition thing. So like everything, we were talking about the Rubicon, you can add 15 or 20 grand in options easily. So,
absolutely.
Congratulations for getting airborne. You know what I have to do here? Hold on. I got something for you here. Here it is. Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I got this. Is the music you play when you get a vehicle airborne. I turned on MTV the other day by accident because, you know, I'm flicking around and it was Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And I'm like, Ferris Bueller's Day Off! And it was on MTV. And I thought, I'm 60 years old. I don't think I'm even legal to watch MTV anymore. Anyway.
No, it's like the opposite of the V-chip. You know?
Yeah, right.
You're too old to be watching this.
All right. You can find all these stories at autonxt.net on the web. Editor, Perry Stern. Thank you, Perry. Good job.
No problem. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks. Be safe out there. We'll take a little break, and there's another hour of The Drive right after this. Stay with us. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto News. Exclusive interviews. Real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, it is hour two of our program today, talking about cars in the automotive world on the weekend. Although some of the folks that listen to this show listen to the podcast version of this show. Now, we're on about 100 radio stations, and then the show gets podcast afterwards. And so they listen. It's not maybe the weekend. Maybe it's Tuesday afternoon or Wednesday night. Who knows? But anyway, the show is about cars and car stuff, the car culture. One of my buddies is George Kennedy III. He is the co-founder of CarTender. He also is a freelance automotive journalist. He writes for Car Gurus, Boston Globe, U.S. News, and World Report. And he's a contributor to this show. By the way, I was thanks for being on, George. I was listening to... Yeah. I don't know, maybe it was CBS News or one of those big ones, and I was like, they were quoting CarTender. No, Car Gurus, that's what it was. And I was like, man, Car Gurus has come a long way. CarTender is a little more B2B stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Right. Yeah, Targooers, we're getting it done.
Yeah, good for you, man. Congratulations. And good for them, I should say, as well. But, all right, so I asked George before we got started, you know, I got a little news break there, and I was talking to him, and I go, what are you driving? He goes, a 2-series BMW Grand Coupe. And I'm like, And he's like, yeah, you know, so, but you actually, you, I mean, of course, the idea is that we all cannot drive everything. And so it's important for this show that I have all my friends like yourself, and coming up next is Stephen Cole Smith to talk about motorsports. And, but this car you're driving, you know, you told me something about rear wheel drive version and front wheel drive versions of the 2-series. And I'm like, whoa, let's talk about this on the radio. So I didn't even know, honestly. So let's just go for it. This 2-series BMW Grand Coupe. What do you got there?
Yeah, sure. So a little bit of background. The 2-series was originally offered as a coupe and convertible. It replaced the 1-series, which is, both of those cars are favorites among, you know, driving enthusiasts. They're, you know, compact, little rear-wheel drive, good amount of power, great handling abilities. But in the BMW speak, Grand Coupe is essentially a four-door coupe. And, you know, in some cases, it's just a four-door coupe variant. Beneath the skin, this is a very different car. This is a new generation for the 2-series. And it's actually an architecture that's shared with the Mini Countryman and Clubman. So as opposed to the, So as opposed to the rear-wheel drive 2-series coupe and convertible,
right,
this is actually a front-wheel drive platform. It's kind of a little snout nose, you know, subcompact sedan. You know, they can call it coupe all they want, but this is a subcompact four-door luxury car.
Isn't that funny that they would have, you know, two platforms for one series of cars? The 2-series, you would think, would be the same throughout, offering different iterations like a Grand Coupe, a convertible, a coupe. Well, when they call it a Grand Coupe, I don't know. It's kind of confusing because a coupe has always, in my book, had two doors. But then they come back with
I agree with you on that. The German luxury brands have been taking their liberties with the term coupe. Right. Over the last few years, Porsche does it, Mercedes does it, and then BMW at least puts the Grand, G-R-A-N, in front of it to signify it's not an actual coupe. But I agree, I love two-door vehicles. I love two-door SUVs, like the K5 Blazer, stuff like that, the Bronco.
Right.
So to see, you know, coupe on a four-door is kind of disheartening to purists. Also, the move to a front-wheel drive platform, also a little disheartening because in a vacuum, it's a fun little car, but as long as you're comparing it to the 2-series coupe, you're always going to be a little disappointed because that 2-series coupe, specifically the M240i and then the M2 above that, that's like one of my favorite modern cars. It is like the perfect little, you know, sporty runabout that's got like a, you know, a great interior, decent cabin space, one of the biggest trunks among cars of its size. So whenever you put it in comparison to that car, it's always going to fall a little short and maybe disappoint a little. But for consumers that are looking to get in a BMW that want something with four doors, this is like the new entry point. So for that, I think it gets it done.
See, you taught me something else also, that it's not Grand Coupe, it's Grand, G-R-A-N. And I honestly...
Like Grand Prix.
Okay, Grand Coupe. All right, well...
Grand.
It's confusing as hell. All right, we'll take a break. George Kennedy III, bringing the dope, bringing the good stuff here. BMW. We'll be right back. We'll talk more about this car.
So good. I got you.
Now's the time to earn your bragging rights and rule the road in a powerful Dodge vehicle. With enough style, horsepower, and performance to make your muscle car dreams come true, it's no wonder J.D. Power named Dodge the number one ranked brand in initial quality and driver appeal for mass market brands. Join the Brotherhood and experience the strength of Dodge muscle today. Visit Dodge.com or see your local Dodge dealer for great deals. Tied for initial quality study. For J.D. Power 2020 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. George Kennedy III driving a BMW Grand Coupe. Grand Coupe. You have to say it kind of like that, I guess. I'm not sure.
Grand Coupe, perhaps?
Well, yeah, I guess Coupe. I don't know. But it's, George just kind of shocked me. He told me this is a front-wheel drive platform that is shared with the Mini and the Mini Countryman, where the coupe and the actual 2 Series BMW coupe and convertible are rear-wheel drive platforms, which I know I've driven an M Series 2, a 2 Series, you might say. It was unbelievably awesome. So now you have been, I can't say dogging on this a little bit, but you don't seem to be pleasantly surprised with it. How's that?
Well, I think about it from this way, that like to many auto enthusiasts, BMW is like that quote unquote ultimate driving machine brand.
Right.
And as you look at, as they've expanded into crossovers and made M versions of pretty much every SUV they make, you looked at the 2 Series as sort of this like last bastion of what BMW once was, that kind of purist, you know, simple, but like upscale performance car. And the 2 Series coupe and convertible almost exist as like living fossils of what BMW was 20 years ago, right?
Fossils.
And okay. And the Grand Coupe is this thing that it worries me, because my big concern is this new platform going to underpin the coupe and convertible? And does that mean that the new coupe and convertible are also going to be front wheel drive? And BMW already has that in their portfolio. It's called the Mini Cooper Coupe and the Mini Cooper Convertible. Mm. You know, so I really hope that they, for the coupe and convertible, stick with because remember that the platform for the coupe and convertible has been around for a handful of years now.
Right.
So it's around that time when you would redesign those. And so it's like whenever they redesign a Jeep Wrangler, like, okay, please don't water it down. Please make it what it once was. And
right.
So I really hope they stick to their guns on the coupe and convertible. I'm just not sure.
Well, you know, the saddest thing of all, for you talk about the purists, for us purists, is that, you know, it's all going to be replaced by electric cars at some point anyway, unfortunately.
Sure.
I don't.
Sure.
It depends on who's in the White House, truthfully, if you want to know the truth, for now. But I hope that these brands will always keep something of their original heritage. In other words, some sort of a fossil fuel powered vehicle, like
something with dead dinosaur in it.
Right. Yeah. You know, talk about living fossil. You know, I was telling, it's been about 2 months ago now. I just happened to be looking through Auto Trader, one of these kind of, you know, car gurus. I don't even know where I was, but I came across this BMW. It was a 325 or 328. I don't even know what it is. It was a manual transmission. I was like, oh, wait a minute. Manual transmission is a convertible. It was only $6,000. And I thought, you know, I'm looking at this thing going, I think I got to buy this because it's a collectible. Isn't that weird that a manual transmission of almost anything is becoming collectible?
I know.
You know?
I know.
So, yeah, I got it stuffed away in my shop.
Look, in a vacuum, if you've take all that other stuff out of it, right? In a vacuum, you know, they maybe could have called this the 1 Series and it would have followed with their nomenclature of the 3 being a sedan and whatnot. Take the coupe and convertible out of it, and this is a really nice, refined, compact car. You know, it's got 228 horsepower. That's not a ton. There's a bit of turbo lag. Once it gets going, once you're at speed, it's got some great mid to higher level pick up. When you're on the highway, it's got some scoot. Getting in and out of turns, it's pretty refined, good turn in. It just, once again, being a front wheel drive, and it's actually all wheel drive, but it's front wheel drive bias.
Right.
It just doesn't have that same connected feel. But as a daily driver, I think it's more than fine, and it's pretty well equipped too.
What kind of money are we talking about?
So sure. So the 228 X Drive, so that's the all wheel drive, starts at $37,500, but ours had a Storm Bay metallic paint, that's $1,200. The Mocha perforated leather, that's $1,400. The M Sport package, which is the steering wheel and rear spoiler, that's $4,000.
Right, and a badge.
Right. But probably the most sensible option is the premium package, which was $3,000, but it gave you, you know, heated steering wheel, panoramic moonroof, heated seats, the head-up display, and a bunch of other tech features. And
so total price, how much was the total price?
The total price, $48,495.
Oh!
And that is still a lot for a subcompact sedan.
You know? Wow. All right. I'm sure it's a nice little car, but my God, cars are getting expensive. All right. We'll take a little break. We'll come back with more of George Kennedy. Car Gurus, Boston Globe, U.S. News and World Report, and he's on the drive here with us. He's co-founder of Car Tender, and he's a car guy. We'll be right back. It's The Drive.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever, the 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Our show brought to you in part by Dodge. Congratulations to Dodge. They're the first domestic brand ever to be ranked number one in initial quality and appeal in the same year. It's pretty awesome. George Kennedy joining us. George, a wrap-up on the mid-30s. It's like 36 or 7, you said, the little BMW, the 2 Series Grand Coupe. Starting
at 37, but 48 in reality.
You can always add, you know, It didn't used to be like that. I don't remember with cars being able to add the cost of an entire another car in extras. You know what I mean?
That is par for the course, pardon the Masters this weekend, but that's par for the course right. For any of the German brands, the luxury brands specifically. You get loaded up on options and you're looking at least another 10 to 15 grand.
Yeah. And sometimes on the high end ones, 20, 25, 30, you know what I mean? It's like, holy moly, right? You start out at 80, 90,000 bucks and you're at a buck 20 with extras. It's like, wait a minute, when I'm spending 75 or 80,000 bucks on a vehicle, it better have everything, including a heated toilet seat in the trunk. You know what I mean? So anyway.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things you do have to pay for on this car is CarPlay, which I take a little bit of umbrage with because you can get a Toyota Corolla with standard Apple CarPlay,
yeah,
right?
But a mistake.
The upshot is that it's wireless CarPlay, which I find to be a really nice feature. And this really is it would be just a nice, refined commuter car, even though it's got a second set of doors. The second somebody my size, 6'3", sets the seat the way they want, the back seat becomes almost useless.
Yeah, it's a shelf.
You don't have a ton of rear seat space. The second set of doors are really there to make it easier to get in and out. It's got one of the biggest trunks in the small car class. So if you think Audi A3, Mercedes-Benz A-Class, this is a larger trunk than those guys. I still had to fold down the back seat to get my golf clubs in. So,
Poor you.
I know. Life is tough. But it's a good little runabout. I think the tech is, as always with BMW, they've done such a great job bringing iDrive to a place where it's the controller, but it's also touchscreen with the CarPlay. You've got a head-up display, fully digital instrument panel. I think they put together a really great package of tech that works seamlessly, and that's an important thing for daily commutes, not being bogged down by being distracted at looking at different features, right?
Well, you know, I think they've learned this whole thing of almost sometimes some of these cars adding 25 or 30% onto the price from somebody in the marketing department remodeled his home, and he got a bid to remodel his home of so let's say it was like 75,000 bucks. And when he was done remodeling his home and he got it the way he wanted it, it was 150 grand. And he's like, what happened to the 75 grand? They go, well, we gave you the options and you kept on optioning up. We will do that to ourselves. We are our own worst enemies when it comes to going, well, yeah, you know, I got to have the moonroof. And of course I want the additional price for the Apple CarPlay. And yeah, I want that wireless Apple CarPlay. By the time you're done, you've added that extra 10 grand on this little $37,000 car. All right. Well, so you give it a pretty much of a kind of a 1.5 thumbs up or what? What do you got? Out of two.
I like it, but there's caveats to that, right? Like, right. It's, you know, I think they didn't do themselves any favors by calling it a 2 Series. If they had called it a 1 Series, the way that Mercedes calls their smallest, the A-Class, like, they wouldn't force this comparison to one of my favorite modern cars.
Yeah, right. All right, well, look, we got about 3 minutes left here. You got to talk about two things. First of all, there's a lot of racing going on this weekend, and coming up next, Stephen Cole Smith's going to cover all that. I want to know what you're going to be watching, but I know you have a new edition of your Upshift magazine coming out at LarsAnderson.org. What's going on there?
So Upshift is the official publication of the Lars Anderson Auto Museum. Lars Anderson is in Boston, but this magazine has a national and international view, looking at, you know, different cars, different trends, stuff like that. The cars that I reviewed this year for, you know, include the McLaren GT and the Lexus LC500. We have a review of the Harley-Davidson LimeWire electric motorcycle.
Uh-huh.
And I got to spend time with a Daimler Ferret military vehicle.
Uh-huh. Right on.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. It was a friend of a friend bought and restored this, like, sort of armored personnel carrier type thing. It's like a missile defense truck that NATO had from, like, it had been at the Berlin Wall and stuff.
Wow.
And they now live in, you know, southeastern Mass, and they take it around on weekends, yeah. And they, you know, bring it different places.
Yeah, well,
and,
you know, with the riots that are soon coming, they're going to need that thing. You know,
it'll be their daily driver.
All right, listen, we got about 1 minute. First of all, you can find that at LarsAnderson.org. It's called Upshift. It's a digital magazine. What are you watching this weekend before we go and talk to Motorsports?
Yeah, man? I'm watching the 12 Hours of Sebring. That, to me, is always a historic track. Part of the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. So that's my favorite kind of racing. You've got your prototypes, you've got your sports cars, your GT cars. And I think it's so cool. You know, you talk about NASCAR and stock car. There's nothing stock about those things. And it's really cool to see Corvettes, Porsches, you know, the likes of that out there racing and very similar to, you know, modified versions of the dealer car, right?
Yeah.
The other thing I'll be watching is the 8 hours of Bahrain. That's the international WEC World Endurance Championship.
Mm.
And then on Sunday, the Turkish Grand Prix. So a lot of racing.
That's what's next. Thank you, George. George Kennedy III, Cartender. He's the co-founder, Car Gurus, and Boston Globe, U.S. News and World Report, and The Drive. He's one of our reporters doing a great job. Thank you for being you, George. Be good. See you later.
As always, stay easy.
Motorsports coming up next with Stephen Cole Smith. Stay with us.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Well, our show brought to you in part by Subaru and the all-new Outback. Go where love takes you. Lately, it's been taking me out into my shop, believe it or not. Well, you know, everybody's being closed in and shut down, and One of my nephews got COVID, and of course he's young, so he got over it in just a couple of days. But I was like, "Wow!" He's like, "Yeah, I was in L.A. and I didn't feel well." And the next thing you know, he's got COVID. And, you know, he sequestered himself into a little music studio that he has, but he said it was just like a bad cold. So anyway, speaking of bad cold, Stephen Cole Smith has a cold. How you doing, Steve?
Yes.
Yeah.
I hope it's a cold. You're scaring me. I don't have a music studio. Where am I supposed to go?
Well, you know what's funny, though, is like he got it and he was all bummed out and he's all worried and he was kind of waiting for the plague to hit him and his ears to fall off and leprosy to kick in and nothing. He just had a cold and we took him some chicken soup. I put it on the hood of, oh, by the way, his brand new Subaru. Yeah. I put it on his car and walked away. I thought, I hope he's all right with this. And he, so I pulled away. I called him. I go, all right, chicken soup on the hood of your Subaru. And he comes out. He's all bundled up and he kind of waves. And I thought to myself, the poor guy looks like he's got leprosy. But then, you know, he's talking to us. He goes, I actually feel better. He goes, I'm working. He's restoring a reel-to-reel recorder. Remember the old reel-to-reel? And he buys and sells these things, and he takes them apart and restores them and makes a boatload of money. And so I had to take him a set of Allen wrenches. Of course, my name's Allen, so I have a bunch of them. And, you know, but, anyway, he's over it now. It was 5 days from the time he find out until he's, you know, feels like he's ready to go back to work at work from home. But I don't think this thing is a death sentence as much as the media makes this COVID thing feel like you're getting leprosy or you're going to die. I mean, us older guys, we got a better chance of dying than him. He's 31. But,
Oh, come on, man. I'm 67. I've got many.
You're dying. You're dying.
The markers, you know, like diabetes, yeah. Morbidly obese. Sad looking.
There's just a big one.
You know, hair falling out. All those are markers for having problems with
the Rona.
Dying from COVID. Yeah. And I think I'm the first guy. Man, I get it. They're taking me straight from the ambulance to the cemetery. They're not even going to bother with the ventilator.
They won't let you in right now because they're all not done voting over there at the cemetery. Oh, I shouldn't go there.
Well, this is Florida, man. We know who we vote for down here.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. So,
we know who we're paid to vote for down here.
Oh, gotcha. So I was in my shop. I have two shops now. I have a big shop and I have the small shop. The big shop got so full of stuff, Steve. Cars and motors and things and steam cleaners and, you know, I mean, it's so full. So I built another shop. That's how I do it. I'm kind of like a hermit crab. I move from shell to shell, you know. So my new shop.
This is what the Indians used to do, Alan. They would live in a camp and get it so messed up, and rather than clean it up, they just moved camp.
See?
They just opened up another camp somewhere else. So
I
love that philosophy, and I've lived by it for a long time.
I built another shop, and I put some more stuff in it, and then I finally had it drywalled, and it's beautiful. It's really nice putting a sink in there and some cabinets and a TV on the wall. Haven't got that far yet, but I got the TV and got all the stuff to mount it. And I have another really nice toolbox, and I have just tons of tools. And, I mean, in boxes, they're loose because I'm kind of a weird tool collector, you know? And
me too, yeah.
Yeah, I can't help it. I love them. I can't get enough of them. So I've been spending many hours just dirty fingers going through tools, separating them into little piles and putting them in drawers. And I'm the guy that if you work on something and you've got leftover screws, I want them. I've got a drawer full of leftover screws, but I always have what I need.
The problem with doing that was, and we were talking off the air, I was telling you that I had just changed oil in a couple of my trucks, and we were at Walmart a few nights before, and I was buying my synthetic oil, and I bought an oil filter wrench, and my wife says, do you not have one of those? And I go, no, I don't have one. I have 20. I just don't know where any of them are.
So I just
keep buying a new oil filter wrench every time I have to change oil. So
yeah, no, I know.
I'm going to tie a big bow around this one.
You know, and that's the problem right there, is that we get a little bit lazy. We get comfortable. We're really proud of ourselves and happy that we got through changing the oil without having the car falling and crushing our skull. And there's laying the tool over off to the side that then gets kicked underneath the bench. And there it goes, you know.
Right.
And my kids have finally all moved out. I'm now an empty nester. And so then I decided I'm going to go find all the tools because I got my shop is big. I mean, this is my forever property. I have 3.5 acres. I got about 3,000 square foot of shop. And I started looking for tools, and you cannot believe how many tools I found and how many tools are still missing. And it really makes me angry, so I try not to think about it. But I believe it.
Completely.
I never stop buying tools and things, you know, wire ties and little electrical connectors. I want them in a box. I don't want five. I want 500 in a box, and I'll only ever need five, but I've got 500. You know what I mean? That way I'll always right. at least have one. No, but
when the zombie apocalypse comes, I tell you, they're going to be looking for wire ties.
That's, you never know.
They're going to be looking for wire ties, and it's you're like going to be gold. Able to bargain your life with how many wire ties you have.
That's right. But I was telling Steve in the commercial break, he goes, we should talk about this, and I absolutely agree. I changed a fuel pump on my 74 Blazer, K5 Blazer. Standard, you know, a small block Chevy, easiest thing in the world, couple of bolts, not a big deal, couple of fuel lines. Oh my God, I put it on and took it off like 8 times trying to get the stupid thing to work. But it was so funny because when it was all done, and you said the same thing to me, there was a sense of accomplishment like I had just built a house. And all I did was put on a water pump or a fuel pump, you know? Oh my gosh, good exactly. stuff. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back and talk about what's going on in the world of motorsports. Not much, evidently, but worth talking about anyway. Stephen Cole Smith, he works for Auto Week, Automobile Magazine, Grassroots Motorsports, and TheOtherDrive.com. This is The Drive with Alan Taylor Radio. And it's all good. We're all a big family, right? We'll take a little break. Be right back with more of The Drive with me, Alan Taylor, and Stephen Cole Smith. Stay with us. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BremboStoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE-equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BremboStoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
And Stephen Cole Smith is joining us, automotive journalist, motorsports expert extraordinaire. He works with Auto Week, Automobile Magazine, TheDrive.com, and Grassroots Motorsports. And there's not really, I guess, there's not a whole lot going on this weekend in the world of motorsports.
Well, there's a Formula One race, but the biggest thing here in the U.S. is this Mobile One 12 Hours of Sebring, which takes place every March, is now taking place in November because of COVID.
Right.
It's the last race in the season, which is normally the Petit Le Mans. So everybody who thought Petit Le Mans is, as it always has been, the last race of the IMSA season. You're wrong. There's one more. And we're taping this on Friday because tomorrow, which is actually today on Saturday, I'll be down at Sebring watching the race, which is the season finale. Consequently, a couple of the championships are still open. The number 10 car, the Chevrolet, the Cadillac, but Wayne Taylor Racing has already won the championship overall in the Daytona prototype. And the Chevrolet Corvette has already won the championship in GT Le Mans. But GT Daytona, I believe, is still up in the air, as is maybe Le Mans PT LMP2, which not that anybody cares about because I think one car showed up at the last race. So I'm not sure who the champion's going to be, but you and I could have rented a Tercel and been on the podium for a race or two of those.
That would be great.
So that's going on. And, of course, last week we had NASCAR's championship, which Chase Elliott won. And I think, you know, I don't really have a horse in a lot of those shows, but generally my horse is the guy who's never done it before, the guy who's never won a race before, the guy who's never won a championship before. That's Chase Elliott. He never won a championship because he's too young. He's only been in the sport for, 3 years in Cup Series. He managed to win the race and the championship out in Phoenix, Arizona. So a tip of the hat to Chase, because really an emotional time for him. I don't think he expected to win. He had to start from the back because of a penalty. The car didn't go through inspection the way it should have. So he had to start on the back. So I don't think he really planned to win. And he didn't show that much emotion except when they showed him in the car by himself. And that looks like where he wanted to be. He really didn't want to do interviews. He wanted to be off by himself or maybe with his very young family, or maybe with his dad, Bill Elliott, who knows what it's like to win a championship.
Right.
So good for Chase. I mean, he's it happened to a kid who had never won. The other three, Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, and Denny Hamlin have all won championships. Was it Denny Hamlin? Maybe it wasn't Denny Hamlin. Yeah, it wasn't Hamlin. But anyway, Chase is the guy who hadn't done it before. And really glad to see him win the race and the championship.
Well, there's so much junk going on in the world of racing, and COVID has really amplified that. It takes away in some ways from these championships because, you know, the fans are not there the way they should. But I think, you know, when you have a situation like you're describing there, you're probably right. He probably, you know, in his car, having a moment to himself to just go, I did it. You know, that there's some big value right there when you actually have. We talked about changing the oil and changing a fuel pump, having that sense of accomplishment. Imagine how he felt, you know. So it's great.
Oh, man. I'll tell you, Darrell Waltrip told me something that stuck with me years ago. It was that every driver knows he can win a championship, but nobody else knows. The crew doesn't know. The car owner doesn't know. The sponsor doesn't know. They don't know that until it actually happens that you can do it. And it's that point, I think, that Chase Elliott was feeling like everybody is going to know that I can do what I knew I could do all along ever since I got in this sport.
Yeah. Well, so here we go into the winter months. These championships are winding down. What about internationally? Did you talk about international?
Yeah, just Formula One, and I don't know who's going to win that, but I'm guessing it's going to be a guy named Hamilton. He's already the champion. He's won. He's so far ahead that there may still be some mathematical chance of somebody getting within 100 points of him, but I don't think it's really going to happen. The World Endurance Championship, I think they've got one more race in Bahrain. I believe it may be in December. I know it's really, really late that the 24 Hours of Le Mans is typically their last race of the year, and they've got one more left. But internationally, I think we're already looking internationally and nationally both to next season. We're trying to figure out what's going to happen because, Alan, we're coming up on it. The 24 Hours of Daytona is in January, and the Roar Before the 24 is even earlier in January. So we're not far away from these guys trying to figure out what is 2021 going to look like. Are we going to be able to have fans in the stands?
Right.
What are we going to do for the Daytona 500? Can we put 100,000 people in there? Are we looking at 10,000 people?
Yeah.
We made it through 1 year. Are we going to be able to make it through 2 years of having that kind of a loss of sports? I don't know. I think sponsors and teams and tracks all over the country, you know, California Speedway lost their race this year. Laguna Seca lost a race this year because California won't let people into the stands. And they said, let's go someplace where they will, which is why Daytona had two races, why Sebring had two races. It's a crazy season this year, and I think next year is going to be just as crazy.
I do believe you are correct, at least halfway through the year, maybe towards the summer months. They'll loosen up a little bit. I think by that time, maybe by that time, we'll know who's going to be the president for sure. Who knows, right?
I don't know. You're pretty optimistic, man. It's only, what, months and months away.
Yeah, I know. Oh, man. We all have to say a little prayer for our entire world right now because it's on its...
Absolutely.
On its neck. You know, it's down. It's almost down and out. But we will survive. We're Americans. We'll pick ourselves up by our bootstraps. All right, we'll take a little break, come back and talk about a brand new vehicle from Hyundai that Steve can't even talk about it, and he's gonna right after this. You're listening to The Drive.
Now's the time to earn your bragging rights and rule the road in a powerful Dodge vehicle. With enough style, horsepower, and performance to make your muscle car dreams come true, it's no wonder J.D. Power named Dodge the number one ranked brand in initial quality and driver appeal for mass market brands. Join the Brotherhood and experience the strength of Dodge muscle today. Visit Dodge.com or see your local Dodge dealer for great deals. Tied for initial quality study. For J.D. Power 2020 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
My buddy Stephen Cole Smith is on the line, automotive journalist extraordinaire. He does motorsports and a whole lot more. And willing to talk about things that he knows how to walk the razor's edge. Because the new Hyundai Inline and Hyundai Elantra, the information is embargoed. But Steve, I realize you know, the rest of the world knows that new cars are coming all the time. So you can walk the razor's edge and tell us a little bit about what's coming. And then we can talk more about it when the embargo lifts about, you know, they give all the journalists a chance to kind of, in order to make it fair for all the magazines, newspapers, radio shows. But what can you talk about here?
Well, the embargo is Monday, and I figure in Australia it's probably already Monday. I'm not very good at checking on things like that. But, yeah, talk about the brand-new Elantra, which the last brand-new Elantra was like 2017. I can't believe how fast these guys are cranking on these product cycles. But the new one is bigger, a little bit bigger, a little wider, a little bit better in general, just like the last one was over the one before that. And we drove that. We drove the Sonata N-Line, which is 311 horsepower. And I can't tell you that it's a lot of fun to drive. And probably the first real performance sedan Hyundai has had ever in that market segment. But if I could, I would say just what I just said. But I can't say that.
Okay, gotcha. Well, 311 horsepower is nice. And it's funny because when Hyundai came out, when it came to this country, I remember thinking to myself, oh, well, this little nice little car, I'm not sure if it's going to make it. And I've been around long enough to remember that I thought, well, I don't think this car company's going to make it. So I started a Hyundai wrecking yard, believe it or not. I actually started, and I specialized, you ready for this, in Hyundai because I didn't think they were going to make it. And Subaru, because they were such good cars and they lasted so long that even when they were wrecked, they still had parts and pieces that were valuable. So two exact opposite reasons. One, because, well, they're going to need engines for these things because they're not going to make it, which this is, of course, going back in a long way. I was wrong about right. Hyundai. I was right about Subaru. They are such good cars.
Yeah.
But Hyundai, boy, they've come a long way. And this Elantra.
Haven't they?
I've seen some pictures of it.
Yeah, this Elantra is it's a really nice car. I mean, it's a great family car. If you've got a wife and a couple of kids, I don't know that you really need anything any bigger. And with the N-Line, 201 horsepower, not a whole big improvement in terms of power. But the way it's laid down, it really comes on nicely. It's overall just a good experience. Hyundai's really on top of their game right now. And then you add the Genesis in on top of that, you know, their luxury brand. And they've got some cars that should be finalists for North American Car of the Year, I think.
Well, that's great. Well, we'll honor the embargo of driving impressions and all that stuff and talk about it next week or the week after, whenever we can.
Good.
Last thing, it seems like the last time we talked, or maybe two times ago, you had done a story about Mario Andretti, and you were the last, you got to take the last lap in that double seat Indy open race car. Can you got about a minute and a half? Can you give me how that ended up? Because I know there was a bit of a debacle on that.
Yeah, when we finished, I went and asked Mario, being that I waited in line, and so I'd be the very last guy. And I said, well, Mario, it's over now. You know, you've been doing this for like 9 years. What's it like? Are you going to miss it? And he looked at me and said, what are you talking about? So he hollered out then to the staff, which was around him, and all of a sudden found reasons to turn their heads downward and walk away. Where did this come from? Does anybody know where it's come from that I'm not going to be doing this next year? Well, as it turns out, you know, you don't have to figure too hard that he's 81 years old next
right,
year.
Right.
And that he's driven people like Lady Gaga around, and that he did wreck one of the cars, or at least spun it out in Texas, I think in 2018. So you put Lady Gaga on the back of a car with an 81-year-old man, and she gets her fingernails broken. The liability, I don't know. I wouldn't want to be there.
Right. Well, so is he going to be doing it or not?
If he does it, it'll be for somebody else because they've decided to cancel the whole program, which I think is the only way they can save face.
Yeah, right. Well, Stephen Cole Smith, you're the best. Thank you very much for your time, energy, and love of our automotive enthusiast world.
Appreciate
Always
it.
A pleasure.
You can find him at Auto Week, Automobile Magazine, Grassroots Motorsports, thedrive.com, and here on The Drive with me, Alan Taylor. See you next week. It is The Drive.
Miss the latest auto news, videos, and real-world reviews. Find us online at thedrivewithalantaylor.com.
If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance, plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever, the 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.